oh God, to give forth your word, God. Clean me up, God, and clean me to a place, God, where it's befitting to pour in your anointing. And when I'm there, God, pour it in like never before, God. Don't fill me up halfway. Give me an overflow of your anointing this morning. God, faces are looking sad this morning. Attitudes seem kind of depressed this morning. But right now, God, I come asking of you, give me an overflow of your anointing. God, when everything is said and done, when the amens have been changed, the mindsets have been changed, the people see you and see things in a different light, God, I'm mindful to give you the praise and honor and all the glory. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Amen. And I give God the highest praise for the honor to share with you a word from him this morning. And if we, as we begin to examine this text here, very familiar text here in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. And here it is where the Bible says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. And here it is, Jairus, a man with power, a man with prestige, a man with clout, has a problem going on in his house. And he has heard about an answer to his dilemma, an answer to his problem. He's heard about something or someone that could come and turn things around. And his name is Jesus, and he makes his way to come to Jesus, the Bible says. And if I had a sermon topic or theme this morning, a question that God was posing to me, and it might just be for me this morning, and if it is, just enjoy the meal with me. But here it is, as I was meditating and marinating, God gave me this thought. He said that Jesus has what it takes. Do you have what it takes to get him there?
Come on.
Jesus has what it takes to fix your dilemma, to clean up, get your house right, to turn whatever situation is going on in your house, to turn it around. Jesus has the power. Jesus has the ability. Jesus has the authority. But do you have what it takes to get him there? Because when you begin to examine this text with Jairus, Jairus has a problem. Jairus has run into a critical situation. It's not something that's ordinary. He's run into a situation where his baby girl is lying at the brink of death.
Right.
And no doctor in town can change her situation. No friend can get the situation turned around. There's nothing that can turn it around, but he gets to the end of his rope and he begins to decide that, well, I've heard about this man named Jesus. If I can just get there and have a conversation with him, and I believe that he has what it takes to get my house straight, whatever is going on in my house straight. And I came to you this morning to let you know that I don't know what's going on in your house.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you that Jesus has what it takes to get it right.
Yeah.
But do you have what it takes to get him there?
Yeah.
Because see, Jairus got to Jesus. But it's one thing to just get to Jesus, but you got to get Jesus to your situation.
That's right.
And here it is, as we examine Jairus, the story, we begin to see what it takes not only to get to Jesus, but to get Jesus from where you are to where he needs to be. Some of us right now sitting here, we got Jesus, but we don't have him where he needs to be. Because see, it takes something to get him from point A to point B. Jairus gets to point A. And so he gets to point A, but it's not just enough to get to point A. And so if I could get you to go over there for me, you know, to represent, he's got Jesus, he's got a bottle of awesome over there, some good stuff. But it's Jesus today, and see, Jairus has a problem in his house. Death has arrived at his house. The brink of the potential of death has arrived at his house, and he has run into a situation where he needs to get a situation. He needs to get it fixed, and the only thing he can think of now is Jesus. And how many of us get to that place?
Amen.
Try everything else.
Yeah.
Everything else won't seem to work. And then now that we're at the end of our rope, putting Jesus at the beginning of it, we have a tendency to put him at the end of the rope.
Yeah.
We got to the end of the rope, then we decide, well, maybe let me go try this man named Jesus. I've heard that he's been in town and he's been turning situations around. I've heard that he's been feeding folk and multitude of folk. He's been giving sight to blind folk. Let me go see if I can get to him, to get him to change my situation. And so it's not just enough, though, church, just to think about Jesus and to think about what he can do for you. It's more than that. See, the Bible says that's why before Jairus could leave, he had to activate something. He had to activate his faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
See, it even took Jairus' faith to get to Jesus. And that is why the Bible declares to us that without faith, it is impossible. impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So before he can even go, he had to activate that mustard seed of faith that he already had. See, that's just a problem with church folk today. We got this mustard seed of faith, but that's all we do. We run around here, I got faith, I got faith. But having a seed of faith won't produce nothing if you don't plant.
Come on.
That he had not only had to gather it, but he had to plant it. Plant it in his mind that if I can just get there, plant it in his mind that I'm going to take a step out, and even if I fall, I'll fall. But I'm not going to acquire anything or accomplish anything just standing here.
Jairus
gathered up the little bit of faith that he had, and he began to make a journey over to Jesus. He had to get there. I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us that part of it, but just to get there, we don't know if he lived 5 minutes away or 5 hours away, but we know that he made his way to Jesus, and he got there. He got hold of Jesus. And see, thank you, sir. It's not just enough, though, y'all. See, this is where many of us are positioned today. You got to Jesus, but you ain't got Jesus to your situation.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
You still got to get to Jesus to your house.
Right.
Yes, there's power in him.
Yeah.
There's power to turn it around, but it's not going to happen over here. You got to now, with that faith that you've activated, now that Jesus that you're now possessing, you now got to take that, and you got to begin to make your way back to your house.
Right.
Jairus got there. And then he began, he talked to Jesus, he shared with Jesus his heart and what was going on in his heart, what situation was going on at his house. And I love this. The thing is, the first thing we have to learn how to do when it comes to getting what we need and getting Jesus to our house is we got to ask.
That's right.
Amen. Come on. Come on.
Jairus humbled himself enough to ask and say, you know what, I got a situation going on at my house. I know you got all of these other things going on around you, but I got a situation that's critical that I'm in need of, and I need you to come with me to my house. And all he had to do was just ask. And right now, what's going on in some of your houses?
With your
money? What's going on in some of your houses? With your emotions and with your mind and all of the stuff that's going on around you? What's going on? All you need to do is just get Jesus to your house. Come in here, sit in here, sing and shout and shout hallelujah.
Come on.
But not move with anger towards your situation. You got to move with Jesus towards the situation that's going on at your house.
That's right.
Jairus got there, Jairus asked, and Jesus complied. See, he cares. What we find out here is Jesus cares about your situation.
Amen.
See, what Jairus' story tells us that even in the midst of all the other stuff that's going on, Jesus cares about you.
Yes,
see, he tells us that he cares because he said that there's not one sparrow that can fall that he doesn't know about.
Come on.
He tells us that he's numbered the very hairs on your head. So whatever you left on the sink this morning, he took it out of your hair equation.
Yes.
Right. That's how much, though, he loves us. That's how much he cares about us.
Thank you, God.
So all we have to do is just ask.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how big the situation it is. It doesn't matter how ugly the situation is. It doesn't matter how long it's been going on. All you got to do is get enough faith to make your way to him and then ask him for what you need.
Yes.
Jesus is really on the main line.
Yes.
But you got to tell him what you want.
Yes.
Sure, he can read it. Sure, he can. He knows what it is. But you still gotta ask.
Amen.
Jairus wasn't afraid to ask. Some of you are afraid to ask. Some of you are ashamed because of what you need to ask. Get beyond that and still ask him.
Amen.
Some of you got your position that you think you don't need to ask. But see, you got to allow you to get in a position where you
that's
have
right.
to ask
that's
him.
Right. That's right.
Nothing else can straighten up the mess in your house.
Yeah.
That's right.
But him. And nothing else can straighten up that marriage.
That's
but
right.
him.
Amen.
Nothing else can straighten up them crooked finances.
Yeah.
But him. And nobody that can get the IRS off your back.
Yeah.
But him.
Yeah.
And nothing can get them hard-headed chaps at your house. But him.
Yeah.
You're
going
to get to that place.
God.
Don't be afraid to ask him. Whatever it is that you need, ask him for it.
Yes.
They ain't asking for that. When he ain't coming to your house.
Right.
He's satisfied with the mess at your house.
Right.
You ain't going to ask him to help you. Jairus comes and humbles himself, and he asks him in the midst of the crowd. See, that's some of your problem right there.
That's it. Come on.
The crowd in the church stopped you from asking. Because you worry about what somebody is going to say in here. They've been talking about you out there anyway.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
So what? I'm going to really give you something to talk about. When my breakthrough comes,
yeah.
I'm going to because he a ruler of the synagogue. What he doing here? Sheriff, forget that. I got a problem.
That's right.
At my house.
Yeah.
None of y'all in here who got something to say can solve my
That's
situation.
Right. That's right.
So you need to get the hush mouth. Trust Jesus that he had what he needed, that he possessed the power, he possessed the ability, he possessed what it was that he needed to get his house straight. And so he had enough faith to move in that, and he got there. And again, it's not just enough to get there, you still got to hold on to your faith. Jesus complies and says, okay, I'll come. And then Jesus began to make a step towards his house. And y'all, as soon as he started making that step towards his house, here comes an interruption.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's how it is sometimes.
That's right.
Amen.
When you start making your way, when you start trying to get to where you need to go, something to get in the way.
My God.
It ain't sometimes, it ain't always something so bad. Here it is, J. Iris thinking, now, oh man, it's about to change. I already heard about it. I know what he can do. It's about to be on.
Yeah.
And then here come a woman with an issue.
Come on.
A blues.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Come on, Pastor.
Interrupting.
Yes.
What needs to take place at my house.
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't happen to you.
Yes.
You pray for yours. You might just get the same thing you pray for. And you ain't got yours yet. An interruption. Hold on to this belief that God, that Jesus is going to get there. He's going to get to his house, and it's just a matter of time. It doesn't matter that she's interrupted. I got to get beyond that. I got to understand that Jesus knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And that God's timing is not my time.
Yes. That's right. Oh, oh my God.
I have to learn to think that way.
Oh, my God.
Shall renew their strength. Yes. I got to get positioned to mount up like a
leader. That's right.
That's what I got to do.
That's
but,
right.
But they have his hopes on, and they begin to make this journey, and he still got a little bit of faith. And y'all, all of a sudden, here comes one running from his house. Say, look at here. Don't trouble the master no more.
Right.
Your daughter dead.
Uh-huh.
Now y'all know.
Right.
You know what, this has been gone.
Yeah.
He didn't say she went into a coma. He said she did. At least he said she went into a coma. There's hope.
Right.
In your mind, she can't be revived.
Right.
But no, she dead.
Right.
Don't bother him no more with it. He doesn't need to travel with you any further. It's done. But that's what I love when you read that. Jesus said, fear not, believe only.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And he's telling what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But see, I'm here to tell you, if you're going to get Jesus to your house, you got to make sure that when the difficult news comes, when life happens, when life comes at your face, you got to learn not to faint.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
If you just faint not,
when
he's right then and there, all about y'all. The one that I done watched come out of mama's womb. The one that I done rocked in my own home.
Yes.
The one that I've heard cry.
Yes.
The one that I have hope for going to
find.
The one that get married and having a successful career. The one that I dreamed for. You don't tell me now she's dead. But see, if you're going to get Jesus to your house at these times, when you faint, at these times when you pass out, you need to make sure. That you got a friend, that you got a partner, that you got somebody that you can call on, that got some flat salt, that can put up with your nose. Jesus told some of them, look here, from this point on, y'all can't come with me.
Uh-huh.
There's some people in your life that when on your route to getting back home, they don't need to come with you.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes, God.
There's some friendships, there's some mindsets, there's some
hope
that you got in the front row of your audience,
that's
they don't
right.
need to be sitting there.
That's
no
right.
More.
That's right.
Mm. Told some back there, just read it. I'm not standing back there. I'm just But read it for yourself. He told him, from this point, y'all can't come. Then when he gets to the house, he sees confusion in there. He has to put everybody out of the house. And he takes in Peter, James, and John. The prayer warriors. The smell of salt that can get something raised. See, that's part of some of you got some people in the room, they can't raise nothing up. look at their own life.
Amen. Right?
And they raise them in there, they still complaining.
That's right.
Still broke.
That's right.
And trying to put the broke on Jesus.
That's right.
Still sick, still told out, and trying to put that on Jesus. No. Analyze the fruit in folks' lives before you try taking them with you.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Thank you, God.
They get married. And see, they finally get to the house. And see, when Jesus gets to your house or y'all, it's not just enough to have him there. You got to then let him do the work.
Amen.
That's right.
That's
right.
Amen.
See, now I got him here, but still ain't nothing changed. Because I hadn't given him permission to do the work. But God, Jesus, I'm giving you permission to do what you do so best.
That's right.
And when he gets on the scene.
Come on.
That's right.
Just start wiping it off.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're going through.
Yeah.
I don't care how long you've been going through. I don't care what they said about you. When Jesus gets to your house, he knows how to clean it up. And when he cleans up a place.
Yeah. That you know needs to be rid of. He's here today. His presence, his power, his anointing is in this place today. Will you grab hold of it? Will you walk with him through it, through the good times and the bad times, through the ins and through the outs, and trust that you will get there and that he will clean it up. Amen. Amen.